Jesus is worthy tonight. Hallelujah. I want to read something before we get into our main text tonight out of the book of Ephesians, chapter 1, verse 18. It said, "The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places. Far above all principalities and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and hath put all things under his feet and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." Hallelujah. He's got all power tonight and all authority, and everything that the church needs as the extension in the body of Christ, and the fact that he is the head of who we are tonight, we are under his authority. But that also means we are under the power and the grace and the mercy of the greatest king that has ever ruled and will ever rule. He is tonight eternally powerful, and we are his people tonight. Amen. We are the people of God tonight, and that gives me hope that what he says will happen, and when he says it will happen, it'll come to pass. And tonight we have hope of his coming. Hallelujah. He's got control, and he's worthy tonight to be praised. Young people, wonderful song. He's worthy tonight, church, to be praised. Amen. Let's turn to the book of John, chapter number 3. We're going to read a little bit tonight, and I'm going to have you remain seated tonight just for a little while. We're going to read pretty good portion of John chapter 3. If you're at nursing home, you got a little snippet of this. I felt this on my heart for this evening's service, and also felt a little bit of this for nursing home. But the Word of God is good for elderly folks. The Word of God is good for adults. It's good for young people, and it's good for children. And so if you heard it at nursing home, young people, you just amen louder. And those of you who haven't heard it, I hope you amen some. Praise the Lord. I want to say, if you're listening online tonight, the Lord knows where you're at too. I've been hearing reports from across the nation and even around the world of individuals who've been listening to services via the internet. And we want to say welcome to you. If you're online tonight listening, we pray the Lord would minister to you in your home or wherever you are. The book of John, chapter number 3, we're going to read from verse 1 to verse 22. What is the most well-known scripture of the Bible? You can answer. John 3:16. Can we say that together? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Is there anyone in this room that did not know that scripture? Is there anyone? I'm not going to knock you if you didn't. I'm just, that is a well-known scripture. Amen? Folks who aren't even Christians know that scripture. There's individuals that have probably never been to a church in their life, but at some point in their existence, they have heard John 3:16. I'm thankful for John 3:16. That's a verse of hope. It's a verse that is a condemning verse in a way. If you don't believe, there is a punishment, but it is a verse of hope to those who believe that Jesus Christ is the Son. It's a verse of hope to those who believe that Jesus Christ does bring hope. Young people, stay with me tonight. It's a verse of hope to those who believe in what Jesus said. It's a verse of hope tonight. I want to preach tonight on this thought. You must be born again. It is a requirement to make it to heaven. Hear me tonight. Our religion will not save us. Our good deeds will not save us. our demeanor, our activities, our works will not save us. The only way that we can have an assurance of salvation is that we must be born again. Jesus is talking in the third chapter of John, and this is the context of John 3:16. He's having a conversation with a man named Nicodemus, and we're going to begin reading where this conversation starts. It says, "There was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. The same came to Jesus by night and said unto him, Rabbi, we know that thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these miracles that thou doest except God be with him. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Let me stop right here and ask, isn't this the aim of every individual who claims to know Christ, that we are aiming to make it to heaven? That's the goal. You know, there's a lot of things down here that we go through, but enduring those hardships and trials, the main underlying hope is the fact that it's not always going to be this way. The underlying hope and the underlying encouragement when we are in the middle of trials and difficulties is that one day there will no longer be trials and difficulties. One day there won't be any more tears. One day we won't have to worry about sickness. One day we won't have to be separated from loved ones. One day we won't have to worry about bills. One day we won't have to worry about where the food's going to come from. One of these days we're going to enter into a place where the worry stops and the worship begins. We've got a hope of heaven. But Jesus said from the very beginning, you cannot see the kingdom of God unless you are born again. Verse 4, Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? We know, and pastor's been preaching upon the parables that Christ told. And this is a parable that Jesus is telling. He's not being literal here. He's using an earthly story that has a heavenly meaning. Jesus answered in verse 5, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I said unto thee, you must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is every one that is born of the Spirit. Nicodemus answered and said unto him, how can these things be? Jesus answered and said unto him, art thou a master of Israel, and knowest not these things? Verily, verily, I say unto thee. Notice how many times he repeats, verily, verily. He is trying to get Nicodemus to listen. He's calling to attention the fact that even though Nicodemus, being learned in Scripture, he is a religious man. He's got authority. He knows the Word of God and the text of Old Testament. But Jesus, the ultimate teacher, is trying to get Nicodemus to pay attention, because if he can get a hold of this truth, everything else that Nicodemus has learned in his life will become secondary to the knowledge that Jesus Christ is the only way to be saved. Hallelujah. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, we speak that we do know, and testify that we have seen, and ye receive not our witness. If I have told you earthly things and you believe not, how shall you believe if I tell you of heavenly things? And no man hath ascended up to heaven, but he that came down from heaven, even the Son of Man which is in heaven. Think about that. No one has ever went up and made a difference in heaven. But oh, when that man came down, he made a difference in earth. Hallelujah. Amen. You and I could not have ascended up to heaven and changed a single thing. But when Christ Jesus descended to earth, he changed the world. Hallelujah. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. Hallelujah. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. And every one that doeth evil hateth that light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. Hallelujah. Amen. I'm telling you tonight, the truth is here. The light has been revealed, and we can know the truth. And what? It'll set us free. Amen. It'll set us free. How many of you tonight say, I've heard the truth, and it set me free? Glory to God. Amen. I want to preach tonight, you must be born again. You must be born again. Amen. I had on my heart a burden of this. Nicodemus was not a bad guy. He wasn't. He held a good position. He was a religious man. He had power. The Bible did not say he was an evil man. He was inquisitive. He had curiosities when it came to the teachings of Christ. He obviously knew that Christ, or that Jesus, was doing things, because he tells Jesus, you're the only one that can do this, and you must be a prophet sent from God, because normal men don't do the things you're doing. So he's got some understanding that there's something going on here more than just you and I can produce. When I got saved, I knew there was something more than what I could produce on my own. Because there was an understanding, I've got some things wrong inside that I can't fix. I can't work it out on my own. I can't adjust it. I can only, by the power of a living God, have change. Does that make sense? Every one of us have come to that place, if we are a believer tonight, where we, like Nicodemus, had a question in our heart, how can these things be? And Jesus, just as in the moment of Nicodemus, was very willing to reveal the truth of who he was. I'm glad Jesus revealed himself to me. You know, think about the percentage of the world. Brother Kevin, there's 7 billion people in the world now. We're out of the sixes. We're hitting into the sevens. And yet you and I have the opportunity to hear about Jesus. When there's billions of individuals who've never even heard that name, and yet you and I sit on a comfortable pew and we hear time and time again the light and the truth of who he is. Hallelujah. He gloriously revealed himself to us. But I want to talk about three things out of this chapter of Scripture, and I pray that God would apply it to our hearts. Young people, I want you to hear me tonight. Religion will not save you. I want you to repeat that with me. Religion will not save me. Say it again. Religion will not save me. Just because you come to church does not guarantee your access to heaven. You must be born again. I want to talk about three things tonight: the problem, the plan, and the promise. Let's start with the problem. You see, we cannot get good news until we recognize that there's an issue of bad news. The problem is this: sin is prevalent in each and every one of us. Young person, if you are or adult, let's broaden it tonight. It may be somebody in here that's not in the youth group. If you tonight are having issues continually in your life, and you are not satisfied, and you are not content, and there are issues in attitude, and issues in family, and there are issues all across the board, and you find yourself always feeling that you are lacking something and needing something, and there's a void in your life, it is a good possibility that void that you are experiencing and that longing in your heart that you are feeling could be that Jesus is wanting to reside in your life. You see, until you become a believer, you do not know true joy. Until you become a believer in Christ, you will never know peace. You will never know what real life is. You will never have an experience where you understand my guilt is gone. My shame is gone. Only when we become believers of Christ do we experience true change. The problem is sin. The problem is darkness. Darkness is a reality in our world and in our lives. Darkness is everything that Jesus is not. Until Jesus is introduced into the world, because sin has entered into the natural world and sin has entered into a separation of God and man, we cannot know the light until Jesus reveals himself. Darkness is prevalent in every one of us in our sin nature. Darkness does not have to be taught, Sister Rose. Darkness does not have to be learned. Our natures are naturally dark because sin is in our nature. But when Christ is introduced into the darkness, and we are talking about glowing in the dark next Wednesday night, why? Because there's a dark world in Drexel. There's a dark world in Trotwood. There's a dark world in New Lebanon. But when Christ is introduced into the darkness, immediately the light eradicates the darkness. Every one of us tonight, if you and I are believers of Christ, have at some point been introduced into that light, and it is eradicated that darkness in us. The old man is gone and the new man is here, but we're not there yet, so I'm going to hold off on that for a little bit longer. The kingdom of darkness is a very real kingdom. Jesus told Nicodemus at nighttime. Why was Nicodemus coming at night? I believe because of the pressure and insecurity and maybe the fear of a religious leader of Israel being seen with somebody he's supposed to hate. The Pharisees didn't like Jesus. Why? Because Jesus called them serpents, vipers. Jesus was the one that was telling them, your law is destroying you and everyone else. I've come to fulfill the law, not destroy it. Jesus was the one that was in the temple saying, listen, you want to know the truth? I'm right here. And the Pharisees didn't like that. But here's one of their own coming to Jesus. Why? Because he's got a problem. He wants to know, what is the solution? The problem is this: sin has bitten every one of us. Jesus said in verse 14, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Why did he say that? Because if you go back in Scripture, when Israel was in the wilderness, they disobeyed God, and God allowed serpents to come and bite them. And yet God in his mercy, right in the middle of judgment, he gave another opportunity to come and be healed. He told Moses, make a serpent of metal and raise it up, and if anyone has been bitten, they can come and they can look at that serpent. They can be healed. God's judging them, but he's given them an opportunity to be made whole. I want you to know something. When we live in darkness, whether we know Jesus Christ or not, we are already condemned. Listen, that is why we must tell the world around us that Jesus is the way, the truth, and the light, because Jesus is the light. And when we introduce him, even though they may not have ever heard him, they're already condemned. That's the problem. But let's get to the plan. God made a way. He said, even as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, talking about his death. But right in the middle of that, even though Jesus is being lifted up, he was giving us an opportunity for our souls to be healed. He knew there was separation. He knew there was division between us and God. But he said, if you want to be born again, all you have to do is come to me, and I will make you as white as snow. Though your sin be as red as crimson, you can be as white as wool. Hallelujah. Jesus said, there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. He's given us an opportunity, his plan, to be saved, to be forgiven, to be changed. What's it mean to be born again? It means to be changed. Brother Taylor said, you don't turn over a new leaf. You get a new life. Hey, I didn't enter into a halfway house here. I got changed. I didn't enter into a 12-step program. I got changed. I didn't enter into a regeneration program by the government or a brainwashing. I got changed from the inside out. Why? Because God made the way possible for our lives to be different than what we were. We couldn't do this on our own. I couldn't clean up my foul mouth. I couldn't change my attitude. I wasn't able to do it. But when I met Jesus Christ, His nature came in me and He changed me. Hallelujah. I got born again. What's that mean? It means we take on His nature. If you're born again tonight, then the nature of Christ is prevalent. And if the nature of Christ is not prevalent in your life, then something's wrong. He said, you're not going to enter into the kingdom of God, Nicodemus, by your religion. You're not going to enter by your title or your name. You're going to enter in because you've been changed by me. Now tonight I want to say this again. We must be born again. If we want to see heaven, we must have a relationship with God that is deeper than just a shallow religious experience. It is a divine change by an almighty God and a relationship that transforms us from the inside out. Our hearts are changed. That's God's plan. We can be saved. We can be forgiven. We can be changed. And we can be pardoned. Listen, we might have had a problem with sin, but what God's plan was that we would have a pardon from sin. There was a debt I could not pay. Young people, sin is a debt that we must pay to God in one way or another. The only way to be saved, the only way to get rid of that debt, is for God to change us. Listen, if you're unsatisfied with life, stop playing religious games. Make it right with God. Let Him change you. Let's get born again. It's available tonight. Amen. And the promise, and we're going to close. He said, I'll go to prepare a place for you. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's the plan. For God sent not His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. Hallelujah. We've got hope of heaven tonight, church. If you're not a believer tonight, you can be. Our sin will forever separate us from God. No matter how much we try to sweep it under the rug, if there's sin in our heart, it'll separate us from God. We will not be able to enter into heaven. But the Bible said if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Tonight, I'm thankful that God extends His plan of salvation to people like me who just didn't deserve it. Hallelujah. Church, have we forgotten how much of a plan it was and that great salvation that He bestowed upon us and that we have been regenerated not by our own works that we could boast, but the fact that it is a gift of God. Tonight, you can be saved. If you've been religious, there's obviously some separation here between you and God. And again, religion won't save you. You can lift your hands all you want in worship. You can run around the church. You can do glow in the dark. You can feel candy. You can go on ministry. But if you are not saved, if you are not born again, you will not enter into the kingdom of heaven. But tonight, if there is someone here that does not know Christ for yourself, if there's someone here that it's been a long time since you've entered into fellowship with God, tonight we can make things right. You can get born again. You can get changed. If there's someone listening via the internet tonight, wherever you are, you might be listening on your phone. You might be in a dorm room. You might be in a place of work. You might be at your home. But if you're not saved, you can pray right where you're at tonight, and God will come in and change you. Listen, church, we must be born again. Why? Because Jesus is coming soon, and I want to make it to heaven. I want to hear Him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into your reward. I want to make it tonight, and I want to make sure that I'm right between me and God. Why don't we stand all across the house? Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You must be born again. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Hallelujah. Jesus said that. Jesus said that. And tonight, if you're not a believer, tonight if you are just playing games, tonight if you're just haphazardly walking this life without God, it's time to confront the fact we need a Savior. And that Savior is Jesus Christ. I want to ask tonight, if we could just bow our heads across the house, is there anyone that you need a Savior? You need to be forgiven. You're not satisfied with living for yourself or living in this world without God anymore. You recognize that you need to be forgiven. You need to make things right with God. Is there anyone in the house tonight? You say, I need it, Brother Brian. I want my life to be changed. Listen, you can't clean up yourself before you come to God. You might as well just let Him take care of it all at one time. Come up here and let God move in your life. If you're at home, ask God into your heart right now. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you for your word. I pray that it will go forth right now. I know it won't return void. God, it's a living word tonight, and I'm thankful that you will pardon our sin. God, this tonight, it convicts us, because when we have sin in our heart, that's a separation between us and you. Oh, but your word also convinces of your righteousness. And God, it convinces us of the truth of your word, that we can be forgiven because of you. We ask tonight that if there's someone that's listening to this that is not saved, that they would confess their sins, turn away from it, repent, and accept you into their heart as their Savior. Amen. Is there anyone tonight that would like to come say, I need to be saved? I've been living for myself. I've been living a life that is not for God, but I want to give my life to Jesus Christ fresh and new tonight. Is there anyone? Is there anyone tonight? You say, Brother Brian, I want to be saved. Hallelujah. All right, church, let's find a place to pray. Let's thank God. Let's thank Him for His salvation that He's bestowed to every one of us. Let's worship Him tonight, and let's pray for, if there's someone you know that is not a believer, pray for them tonight that they would be saved. Pray that the Lord would minister to them all across the house. Let's find a place to pray. Let's enter into communion with God. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Time to play games. It's time to get our hearts right with God. Signs of the times are everywhere. Jesus is coming soon.
I'm not gonna let you go.
And although we may have a problem with sin,
I'm not gonna let,
and every one of us have, God's got a plan of salvation and a promise of hope that we can hold on to.
Mercy said no.
Thank you, Jesus.